All right, everybody, we're back. It's the Jaguar Journal. Good morning. Glad to have you guys with us. I am Perry White. Good morning to everybody listening across the Baton Rouge Capital City area and everybody watching on our Facebook and YouTube. We're live on X today as well. Every week, we're giving you something new. So we're live now on X, Facebook, and on our YouTube channel. So you can go keep up with us across all of those. Of course, we're on Instagram as well as TikTok. And you can keep up with the Jaguar Journal on across with Twitch TV, Apple Podcasts.
Everything.
Spotify. Hell, everything. Just type in the Jaguar Journal. Got my man Kevin Baptiste here in the studio with me this morning. Of course, he covers Southern University in and out for WAFB. Good morning. Good
morning, Perry. How you doing?
I got to make sure I get them W's right because I know I don't want to start no news war. I've seen, what's the movie?
Anchorman.
I've seen how y'all meet up sometime at a park.
Oh, no, that doesn't happen for real. That might happen between the higher-ups, maybe, because they'd be at each other's neck with ratings and everything and clicks, everything. But all of us into the business, like, internally, I mean, we kind of hang out. Us young folks, I mean, us sports guys, we work the same schedule and everything. So it's like, hell, we can have a beer or something together. So, I mean.
Yeah, I just want to make sure. Look, I don't want no problems where y'all going to meet up and, you know, no issues.
No, none.
At the end of the day, man, I'm glad to have you here in the studio, man. I appreciate you.
Yes, sir.
Man, spring football is here. Coach Marshall Faulk has officially taken over the program. Of course, he came back. And make sure you're putting in his name. Baptiste. No P in it.
No P.
Yeah. I saw that last time he gave you a P. He baptized you.
Oh, Mike. Oh. One of my gears.
Yeah. You don't want to see the P in it.
No P.
Okay, no P.
No P. All right. It happens a lot, but hey.
So now we're talking about Coach Faulk. He's taking over the program. Spring football. Of course, Southern University fans far and wide have been ready for this because we want to see what the new era is going to look like. And, of course, Southern University coming off of a season of 2-10, one of the worst seasons in school history. You got to want more for the program. And I say that word. You got to want more for the program. And I think the Jaguar Nation does. The excitement coming in with Coach Faulk, a former NFL football player, an NFL Hall of Famer. He's brought in a wealth of guys around him in terms of former coaches and guys who have experience on the NFL level as well as the college football landscape. Now for you. You got a chance to interview him, and he spoke with the media this week. What were some of the things that you heard from Coach Faulk in his media interview with you guys?
Well, one thing that Coach Faulk will admit is, you know, he's not coming in with this old, you know, this macho high and mighty mindset of, you know, my way or the highway. I know everything. You know, he will admit that, you know, he's back to his rookie ways. I mean, he is learning just like everybody else on this team. I mean, he called it. You know, they have a mix of, you know, returning guys, a mix of, you know, the guys they recruited, walk-ons, and, you know, this new coaching staff. He relates it to, you know, one of our favorite Louisiana cuisines. He relates it to a pot of gumbo. I mean, we got to, you know, mix this all together. And the coaches are the rule that holds it together. So, yeah, I mean, the guys came in, you know, energetic on day one. I mean, Faulk told us, you know, he had a hard time even sleeping the previous night before because he was like, man, I'm finally a head coach. I can you know, make all of the decisions now. But it seems like he's really giddy about this opportunity of finally being able to lead a program.
And for everybody out there, for many who may not know, Coach Marshall Faulk will be taking over the first time leading a program after getting into coaching last year as the running back coach with Deion Sanders. Coach Sanders at Colorado, they went 3-8. Coach Faulk replaces Coach Terrence Graves and is the fifth Southern coach since Dawson Odoms, who coached his last season in 2020. Faulk, of course, was introduced in the Pro Football Hall of Fame in 2011 after a 12-year NFL career, notching 12,279 yards rushing and 6,875 yards receiving and 136 total touchdowns. Arguably goes down as the best dual threat quarterback to ever play the game.
Running back,
yeah. To ever play the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
No argument there.
Absolutely.
Now let's look at Coach Curtis Johnson, who is also taking over and part of this program. Now he's the associate head coach and wide receivers coach. Coach Johnson is the former head coach at Tulane, where he served from 2012 to 2015. He's a college assistant coach at several schools and position coach for the New Orleans Saints. He was on the staff when the Saints won the Super Bowl during that 2009-2010 season. Coach Johnson, of course, just like Marshall Faulk, is a New Orleans native. and was the wide receiver coach at San Diego State when they successfully recruited Coach Falk back through 1991 and 1993. Have you had a chance to get a chance to talk to Coach Johnson yet?
Have not had a chance to talk to Curtis Johnson. I recall, I think he spoke to the media during the recruiting bash a month ago, but I was out of town during that day. But you know, of course, he is here to help Coach Falk. I guess with the experience factor again, Falk being a first time head coach, you need somebody to lean on to kind of help him out in this wave of football. So hopefully we'll talk to Johnson soon before the spring is over. But I mean, when you have that much experience and not just in the college and in pros, it's nice to have somebody on staff. And that's not his only experience. I guess someone to lean on. He also brought back Fred McNair. I mean, mm-hmm. people were wondering what would be his whereabouts after the season was over, but I guess it was a no-brainer to bring back Coach McNair, someone with all that swag experience, someone who knows the landscape of the conference, because outside of him, I don't know who else really has any swag hours, as they call it. So I guess it's really good to see Coach McNair back on staff as a senior advisor.
Let's look at overall the offensive side of the ball for Southern University. Last year, Southern struggled heavily on the offensive side of the ball. This year, they bring in Ken Merchant, who's the offensive coordinator and the quarterbacks coach. For anybody out there, Coach Merchant was the offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach at Sacramento State last year during the 2025 season. He was his only one with the – it was his only season with the Hornets where they went 7-5. And he is instilling the go-go offense, right? And this is going to be an offense which, for a lot of people who don't understand, is prioritized in terms of running the ball, which it has a two-back set that creates mismatches. That's a hell of a tongue. Say that one three times fast. But mismatches and multiple options in the run game. And last year in the Big Sky Conference in which Sacramento State played in, they were third in points per game, averaging 36 points a game, and first in total rushing yards. So when you look at Southern University offense, and I'll go through and tell you about our offense last year for those that are listening, that why this is going to be big in terms of trying to get this offense up and going. Looking at Southern's offense coming out of the 2025 season, Southern was 11th in scoring. And now we're just looking at in the SWAC. On the SWAC side, 11th in scoring, averaging 18 points a game. Southern was in, when I say 11th, there's only 12 teams in the conference.
Right.
All right, let's make sure we put that there.
You say second to last.
Southern was 11th, second to last in total offense. 3,754 total yards on the season with 28 touchdowns, averaging 312 yards a game. Southern was 8th in rush offense in the conference last year with 424 rushing attempts with 1,866 yards rushing with 19 touchdowns, averaging 155 yards a game. And dead last in pass offense, 12th in pass offense, Southern went 153 of 299 passing for 7 interceptions, 1,888 yards passing on the season with 9 touchdowns, averaging 157 yards a game. Now, when you look at that, that's near the bottom of each category. The only bright spot was in the run game. And that was Southern's bread and butter, considering the inconsistency at the quarterback position. Now, we look at Ashton Strother, right? Ashton Strother, who returns this year, the only quarterback out of that quarterback room that returns. He ranked 10th in the SWAC last year after playing in 10 games. He was 89 of 171 in terms of passing attempts for 5 interceptions. He passed for 1,111 yards and 4 touchdowns. Looking at Ashton Strother and then Trey Holly is, of course, the bright spot. This offense was Trey Holly last year, and you got to believe with this go-go offense, this offense is going to be Trey Holly as the circle impact player this year. Trey Holly ranked 4th in the SWAC last year. He played in 11 games. He ran for 169 rushing attempts for 869 yards, 9 touchdowns, averaging 79 yards a game, man. Let's look back at this Southern University offense.
I mean, there ain't really much to look back on as far as the offense. I mean, they were who they were. I mean, I don't think there was really much of an identity with the offense last year. And you could probably say that with the offense the last 3 or 4 years. I mean, the last real identity they had was with Odom. So they were going to be a power running team. But last year it just felt like Southern just, lined up in, the spread, 3 wideouts, 1 running back in the backfield. They would just, hand the ball off, hopefully get ahead on the head, break off a long run. And then when it came to the passing game, it was fire the ball down the field or throw a slant and hope it goes to the house. So I think there's been an identity crisis at Southern. This year with this go-go offense, I mean, I've been trying to do my research, going back and watch some old Sacramento State last year and then UNLV, where Merchant was an analyst at before he went to Sacramento State. And I can say that this offense, they know what they want to do. They're going to run the football.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to run the football. They're going to have two backs in the backfield. There's going to be a lot of eye candy, a lot of misdirection, a lot of read options, everything. They know who they want to be, and then hopefully they hope that defenses buy into that run game, and that will allow them to do a little throwing down the field. Mm-hmm. So we still have a lot to learn about Ken Merchant and this offense, but I can tell you that just going off the surface, going off history, it gives the team an identity of who they want to be.
I looked at it. I had a chance to go out to practice this week and see it. It's a two-back set, and it gives the quarterback. And now what happens with this offense, and people have to watch it, the quarterback is the bread and butter of what this is because right. He has to be able to make the reads. It gives one of the running backs an option to crash inside if the hole is there, but then it gives the quarterback an option to pull it. Now the quarterback can take off on the pull and keep it himself, or then the second running back next to him then has an option to roll out and become a pitch man.
Mm-hmm.
So then he can pitch it out. And then because it's almost really RPO, is that's all it is right. Run pass option. But then he has an opportunity. If the pitch isn't there, he can look up the field. And from what I see, a tight end can be his best friend in this offense. But it also gives you an opportunity to throw the ball down the field. Mm-hmm. It has plenty of options, but it's going to come down to the quarterback making the right reads and being able to see what the defense is giving. Because if you get a good, competent, athletic quarterback, this can be dangerous in the SWAC.
And that's the thing, Perry. Your quarterback has to be athletic. And you mentioned Ashton Strother. He came in last year in a very weird predicament, came in the middle of fall camp and eventually got thrown into as the starting quarterback. I mean, his performance, it was what it was. But, looking at this offense and everything you just mentioned, you have to be an athlete. You have to be a threat with your legs. And last year, I did not see Strother as much of a runner athlete type. So for him to be the starting quarterback in this offense, it's going to take a little minute.
Let's look at the quarterback room. Of course, I brought up Ashton Strother because experience matters.
Mm.
And he has the experience, ranked 10th in the SWAC in 10 games. 5 interceptions, passing for 1,111 yards and 4 touchdowns. But then let's talk about the rest of the guys in the room that you got a chance to see.
Well, outside of Strother, the only guy returning from last year is Dylan Compton, the freshman from Bunky. He didn't play at all last year. I think he even went through a few injuries. And they also brought in their own guy. They brought in Wyatt McCauley, a transfer from a Long Beach City College in California. Judging from what I saw, I mean, all we got to saw was walk through in practice, but you could tell by his build, I guess he's kind of like that slim, that kind of a little bit of that dual threat. And the one quote that stuck out to me from Marshall Faulk when we talked to him the other day was, we asked him about the quarterbacks. He said, I want my quarterback decided by the fall.
Mm-hmm.
By the end of the spring, through some parts of the summer, we have to have our guy known. By the fall, because he says that he's seen it happen where they let these competitions drag on and kind of mess things up. He wants his starter to know that he's the guy. He wants to know his backup, know that he's the backup, and so on. So that tells me they have a sense of who they want to be the starter. And if you read between the lines, 9 times out of 10, coaches want the guy who they brought in to be the starter. So, I mean, I would say McCauley, he's not the starter yet. But I have a sense that they want him to be the guy.
And from what I saw with him, he's very athletic. There was one when I'm talking about in this offense, this go-go offense of quarterbacks being able to read. It was one pull he had and just cut to the outside, and he dipped before anybody even knew what it was in terms of happening. Now, what I saw was his long ball. Hmm. And I think that's what we got to look at. His athletic ability was there. But I was looking in terms of the quarterback throws. From what I saw out of all three quarterbacks, Ashton Strother still seems to be the better passer. But when you're looking at this offense, which is run-heavy oriented, You're looking at who's going to be the athletic guy because you're just looking for that quarterback to be able to make that play down the field when it's necessary. But the bread and butter is going to be running the ball. But to me, from what I saw watching the entire practice, and that was just one practice, but Strother, for me, still had the better deep ball where it connected to the receivers. But you got to get those receivers to catch it. I saw some drop passes out there as well. But Southern, if you've seen them, they got some tight ends. They got some receivers. There's some big boys out there. Mm. They have done a great job to go out and bring some guys. And from what I saw, this in terms of size, some of the biggest receivers I've seen at Southern in a long time.
And that's another thing with this go-go offense. I mean, they don't really you don't need multiple receivers whenever you're running the ball like they do. You really just need that one receiver who's that big, like you said, that big body that – you know, got a little speed to him that you know, like, okay, if we're going to throw this thing, you know, it's coming to you. And from the plays I've seen at UNLV and Sacramento State, when they do throw the ball, it's usually like it's a go ball. Mm-hmm. It's a go ball. It's a post. It's something. It's a real home run threat. I guess when you finally get that 7 or 8 in the box and you have those one-on-one opportunities. So, if you saw receivers dropping the ball, I mean, of course you don't want to see that, but as long as there's just one who can be consistent, it might be all right.
Yeah, it might be all right. And then you need those receivers, especially physical on the outside blocking when this is such a run-heavy offense, especially when you have an option on the perimeter, because a lot of this isn't north-south. It's going to be east-west trying to stretch out defenses and get on the outside. Let's get ready to take a break, everybody. We'll be back. Stay tuned. More of the Jaguar Journal. We'll talk more of Southern University spring ball. Got my man Kevin Baptiste here in the studio. All right, everybody, we're back. It's the Jaguar Journal. Good morning. I'm Perry White. Glad to have you guys with us. Good morning to everybody watching on our YouTube, Facebook, as well as Twitter Live. We're live on X now. I keep calling it Twitter, but
it's always going to be Twitter.
It's always going to be Twitter.
I don't care when they didn't call it X, Y, Z, whatever. It's always going to be Twitter.
Well, good morning to everybody listening on all of those and watching, and everybody on Talk 107.3 FM. Across the Baton Rouge capital city area. And, of course, you can keep up with the Jaguar Journal. Like I said, we're across all social media. We're on Instagram. We're on X. We're on Facebook. We're on TikTok. Subscribe to the Jaguar Journal YouTube channel. You can also keep up with the Jaguar Journal on Twitch TV, Apple Podcasts, as well as Spotify. We're talking Southern University spring football today because, guess what? Spring football is underway. As we call it, the Falk era has now begun. Mm-hmm. Coach Marshall Falk is going to be taking over and trying to rebuild a Southern University football team that went 2-10 last year, one of the worst seasons I've seen since...
Worst I've seen.
I had to go back to the Stump Mitchell days. It's been a long time. And so now as we move forward, you know, we talked about the quarterbacks and, you know, three guys that it looked like it's going to be between, and as you say, bringing in a transfer from Long Beach Community College, but then having Aster Strother. Compton is one of those guys still with a question mark at the quarterback position because he's an athletic guy, and when you see him, he has the athletic build of him, but we just not have seen much of him on the collegiate level since he's come to Southern University.
Yeah, we that's the thing. It's the unknown, and especially, you know, nowadays, if, you know, kids aren't playing, you really expect them to hit the transfer portal, but Compton is still there. I mean, there were a few times in camp last year. I mean, he made some good plays, some good throws. But again, I mean, you're not going to see in this day and age of college football, you're not going to see many guys who get in the summer as a true freshman get playing time. But hope to see a lot more out of him throughout the rest of the spring and during the spring showcase that they're going to have on April 4th.
Because, you know, as much as we keep talking about the quarterback position, it's going to dictate what this offense does, because we've seen the uncertainty at quarterback over the numerous years now.
I go back 2017, the last consistently good quarterback was Austin Howard.
Mm-hmm.
We're going on 10 years now. Since then, it's been a revolving door. If you can't, eventually you have to get the most important position on the football field right.
Yeah.
But, you know, we'll see.
Let's go over to the running backs room. Of course, Joshua Covington has taken over the running backs room. Coach Covington followed Coach Falk from Colorado, where he worked with the tight ends room last year. He also brings experience at the HBCU level because he was an offensive analyst for North Carolina Central during the 2024 season. I had a chance to meet him at TJ Ribs, and I listened to an interview he had with the Southern University Quarterback Club this past week. And chill guy, cool guy. I've seen him do his work at practice. But, of course, that running backs room, when you look at that running backs room, It's going to start and end, of course, with the talented Trey Holly, who's the Louisiana all-time high school rusher. He is perhaps, he is that guy in this offense. There's no doubt about it when you look at it. But there's some guys also returning behind him, and you got Mike Franklin to be one of them. You have Jason Gabriel. You got a wealth of talent in that room. Of course, Barry Remo. How can you forget Barry Remo right here at Baton Rouge, played at Catholic High? Barry Remo, initially, when he first came to Southern, they was using him in the fullback position. But then you start to see him. Remember that? Short yards, goal lines, package situation, and the fullback. Something you don't really see much these days. But looking at this running back room, they are deep, and they're going to depend a lot on these guys.
Oh, absolutely. If you're going to run the ball the way that they expect to, you better have a good horse, a good stable of running backs. And as far as Trey Holly goes, I mean, he ran for a little over 900 yards in an offense where it really was like, again, there was no identity. It was really just, you know, just hand off to Holly.
Inside zone.
Or hand off to Holly, see if he can break off a long one. And he did that a few times last year. Of course, the games against North Carolina Central and then against Jackson State and everything. But I feel like if he ran for just over 900 yards by just giving it to him, what can he do in an offense where there's an actual system in place, where there's actual, you know, getting him to the boundary using his strengths, you know, maybe, you know, tosses, little throws out the backfield, a little something like that. So I'm really excited to see him in an offense that can use his talents and, of course, you know, getting the tutelage of a Pro Football Hall of Famer. Barry Remo, man, you talk about a guy who came on strong last year, especially when it looked like Mike Franklin was going to be, I guess, the thunder to Trey Holly's lightning. But Mike, he got hurt in the middle of the season, needed a running back to step up. And, man, Remo, he really came on strong, especially in the Bayou Classic, being named the offensive MVP and having the 100-yard performance that he had. So I think that's a guy who was really could be in store for a breakout year.
You know, Barry Remo reminds me of a guy we had named Gerard Sims. Remember Gerard Sims?
I remember JJ.
You know, Gerard Sims, kind of when he had his breakout, he was like a guy that you didn't quite think was going to have that type of breakout. But it just seemed like it was over just as soon as it started. But he reminds me of Gerard Sims, man. Gerard Sims, when he was on, he was on. Barry Remo is the same way. When he's on, he is a tough guy to bring down, and he's sneaky fast.
And he runs solo, man. I remember that Bayou Classic touchdown. He made, like, you know, just two guys missed and made, like, another two guys missed, like, with a couple of jukes. And I'm like, man, like, okay, we got a little something here. But it's funny you mentioned J.J. Sims, because I remember his breakout game was the Bayou Classic. Yep. So, I mean, maybe it could be a little, you know, a little copycat. You have that breakout Bayou Classic game, and that just carries you on in the rest of your Southern tenure.
How important, you know, especially having a guy like Marshall Faulk with the wealth of knowledge of a running back that's a Hall of Famer, to be able to have that running back room in which it comes in. And that running back room is very talented, especially I look at a guy like even Jason Gabriel. He's not the biggest guy, but he's a very athletic guy, and he has the ability to be a real good dual threat running back out of the backfield to be able to catch and run.
Yeah, you cannot teach speed, and that kid, he has some speed. I guess he was one of the guys on special teams, you know, ran back some kicks, fielded some punts from time and time again. You got to get him on the field. And as far as Faulk goes, that's another thing we asked him. He was like, you know, you being, you know, your, you know, running back being your bread and butter, how much involvement will you have in the running back room? And he was like, well, I gotta have some. I mean, I don't have all these accolades and all these, you know, these honors, you know, played this long in the NFL at tailback just to not share my knowledge. So yeah, he will be very involved with Holly and Remo and Gabriel and the rest of these guys, make sure that they're getting the most out of their talents.
You know, I'm also looking at that offensive line because it's been up and down a roller coaster with it, because they've been rotating, trying to get guys, and they're going to be led by Donald Penn, the offensive line coach. Penn played in the NFL for 13 seasons and started at left tackle in 189 games. He worked with the Jacksonville Jaguars offensive line in the summer of 2024 as a part of the Bill Walsh Diversity Coaching Fellowship. Your thoughts looking back at that O-line, because, you know, throughout the season last year, you and I was talking, what guys fit where, trying to find depth, trying to stay away from injury, and just trying to find, because for years, Southern's offensive line was always first team, second team, all swag. You could depend on an SU offensive line. Of course, those days were under coach at the time, Chinnis Berry, who's now gone off. And Southern has kind of since struggled since those Chinnis Berry's days in order to find a solid and consistent offensive line that can be one of the best, not only in the country, but as well as one of the best in the nation.
Yeah, if Falk says that he hopes to have his, well, not hopes, but he will have his quarterback decided by the fall, then I really hope that he's going to have his 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 on the offensive line decided by the fall, too, because you cannot do musical chairs, plug and play with the offensive line. I mean, you have to have continuity and chemistry. And as we saw way too much of that last year. I mean, there was times through fall camp where we kept asking, like, okay, guys, who's going to be, you know, left tackle? Well, we got a guy who he played right tackle last year, but we're going to move him to this position, that position. No, you can't do that, especially in this offense where you're gonna rely on your offensive line. I mean, you can't run the ball a lot the way you want to if you don't have the guys blocking downhill like they're supposed to, communicating in the zone scheme and everything. So that's going to be another interesting thing to see. And Donald Penn still got a lot to learn about him, but I guess if you bring in a guy who used to play for the Raiders, he got to have some attitude because, you know, the Raiders have that old school mentality of
don't get in your grill.
Don't get in your grill, dirty, rough, tough. So yeah. Interested to see him, the way he operates.
Let's get ready to take a break. And we come back, we'll continue to talk more Southern University and spring football. The Coach Marshall Faulk era has begun. And guess what? Excitement is in the air. The spring showcase. It's not a spring football
game.
It's going to be the spring showcase. It's going to be April the 4th. So you guys will get a chance to be able to check out this football team and get a chance to see Coach Marshall Faulk and his staff at work. So stay tuned. We'll be back more to Jaguar Journal. All right, everybody, we're back. It is the Jaguar Journal. Scoot over a little bit more for me.
There we go. We got my man
Kevin Batiste here in the studio from WAFB News. We're talking Southern University football. And now I'm joined by my man, Zach McKenna of FCS Football Central. Good morning, Zach.
Good morning, guys. How are y'all?
Doing good, man. Now, you know, when we get to talking about some football, we got to talk about it not only from the SWAC perspective, but from the FCS perspective. And, Zach, we talked about Coach Ken Merchant coming in, taking over this offense, and then looking at Southern's offense compared around the SWAC last year, Southern near the bottom. And for me, this is going to be one of the biggest areas of concern to try to get this team back on track, especially the quarterback position. I think the bright spot, you have to circle the running back room. Then that wide receiver, the top receiver, is no longer with the program as he transferred out to Boise State. That's Darren Morris. So the most experienced left return with this offense is going to be with the running back room. But for you, you cover FCS as a whole, Blue, and you had a chance, and you know Sacramento State better than many of us. Talk about Ken Merchant as the offensive coordinator at Sacramento State and this go-go offense and the success that it had in the Big Sky Conference.
Yeah, man. They actually had a ton of success last year. It took a little while for it to get going. They had a tough schedule, man, opened up at South Dakota State. And I also think they just had an issue in terms of figuring out who the quarterback was going to be. With the type of offense that Ken wants to run in this kind of like go-go offense scheme, if you don't have the right signal caller, man, like the whole offense falls apart because the whole offense is really predicated on the quarterback being athletic enough to make some plays with his legs, but also really and truly making good decisions on where to go with the ball, because at the end of the day, the core of this offense is almost kind of like a triple option offense. But it's more of triple option in terms of one of those options is to throw it in the RPO game and things like that. And really and truly, the whole idea of the playbook is to confuse the defense because you have so many different formations, you have motion, you have all these different eye candy looks to give the defense that helps you at the end of the day get an advantage somewhere, whether that's spacing, whether that's numbers in the box, whatever it may be. But they had a ton of success when they were able to run the football on just about everybody last year. And the biggest thing is you want to have depth at running back if you're running this type of offense. You want to rotate as many bodies as you can at running back. And they did that last year. They had Rodney Hammond last year, Damian Henderson, Taquil Smith for them last year went over 500 yards as a freshman, plus their quarterback, Cardale Williams, went over 300 yards last year. So that's going to be the key for Southern is establishing depth at running back. Offensive line has to be efficient, especially in the run blocking game. And they need a quarterback that's a distributor and that is really and truly kind of the point guard of this offense. And I know a lot of people use that term lightly carry, but you really, really need your cornerback to be the point guard. And that's going to be the key for Southern to work, which ranked 100th last year, period, in total offense in the FCS. So there's really only room to go up here for Southern offensively.
100 out of how many teams?
Like 129, I think, last year.
That's why we're focusing on the offense this morning, because that is a tremendous mountain to climb for the Southern offense, and especially because we talked about the inconsistency at the quarterback position and finding a guy. Ashton Strother is the only one who comes back with that experience that had played last year, right? And he was a bright spot once he got that opportunity to start on the road over in California last year. And it kind of turned everybody's head at Fresno State saying, okay, who is this guy who, and he literally had just showed up like 2 weeks before the first game. And so now with a system, but when you look at this go-go offense, it has success in the Big Sky. The Big Sky is one of the toughest conferences in FCS. Now, when you look at Coach Ken Merchant bringing that over, as well as the quarterback coach and the offensive coordinator, what do you see that go-go offense sizing up against defenses around the SWAC?
I think it has room to succeed. The question is going to be, like, the ultimate question, as always, Perry, is do you have the personnel to run it? That's what it all ultimately comes down to, because we've seen you can run this exotic scheme, right? And I've actually had this conversation with Coach Fred, who's my co-host on the Blue Blood, is why don't, you know, because someone asked him, why don't we see more like match coverages and all these exotic coverages in the SWAC? And it's like, well, you got to have the personnel to run it. And so that's what it's going to come down to with Ken and this scheme, is that there's very specific, I guess, archetypes or molds of players that you want to have in these positions. Can you fill that out just this offseason and be ready year one? I also think that the advantage they have year one, Perry, is that no one's really run this type of scheme in the SWAC in a while. So you had that kind of initial surprise. But how are you going to adjust throughout the season as you get more films available for the teams later in the season, right? How do you adjust and keep this scheme fresh and new? And I think my biggest question for Ken is, really and truly, he's been with Brennan Marion, who's been the main play caller. Just as this go-go offense, obviously he was the one that kind of came up with this whole offensive scheme. How is he able to operate as the full-time play caller without Brennan Marion right there with him, who is literally the architect of this game and took a majority of the play calling duties?
Looking at you now with Coach Faulk taking over the team, and you look across the FCS landscape, your thoughts on Coach Faulk now being the head coach at Southern University?
If I'm being fully transparent, Perry, I thought that my initial feeling was the hire felt a little desperate. I really thought like Southern at this time really needed to go after someone with proven winning experience. And I think me and you actually talked about that on the show and how I kind of felt about that. I think he did a really solid job putting a staff together, though. It made me a little bit more excited about it. I think year one, man, my expectations are not super high year one, if I'm going to be honest with you. I think I'm just, the jury's still out for me. I want to see how invested he is in this. I still don't know about the quarterback recruiting aspect going into this year. And I think there's still some holes on the roster that haven't been fully addressed, in my opinion. And I am a little bit skeptical if they're set up to compete year one. And I just, my biggest concern for him, Perry, is I think if Southern would sit back and give him time, he could probably build a contender. The question is, we've seen Southern not be the most patient fan base with coaches. So what happens if it isn't very pretty this year, Perry? How much leeway is he going to get going into 2027 if he's not very good this year? And that's my one big question about this whole transition to Marshall Faulk from where Southern was before.
You know, I look at it because the opportunity I had to be at practice this week and watch him, I will say what I saw was a structured and organized practice. And I think having that, the coaching staff with one, Fred McNair, who's been held on the staff as a senior advisor. Of course, we know Coach McNair of winning championships up at Alcorn State and as well as Coach of the Year. But I think the biggest integral part to this is going to be Curtis Johnson, who's the associate head coach and the wide receiver coach. Basically, he's the GM of the team, and of course, a former head coach on the FBS level at Tulane from 2012 to 15. I think between those two guys, they would help Coach Falk in terms of the head coaching aspect of the day-to-day operations. And what I saw was a lot of communication, a lot of talking and coaching up. But I think that's the biggest thing, him surrounding himself with guys. And I think he said that, didn't he, Kevin, about surrounding himself with guys who can help him along this way, because he's back in that rookie stage. So he's going to be learning on the job as well. And for you, Kevin, when you look at having like a Coach Curtis Johnson as well as a Fred McNair, how integral is that to have with two guys who've had coaching experience, and especially McNair, who's been successful in the SWAC?
Yeah, it's very integral, because, I mean, it's, I don't care what your occupation is, whether it's a, you know, football coach, my field as a broadcaster or whatever. I mean, you need mentors. You need guys who have been through those trenches, been through the day-to-day process of being a head football coach. And, I mean, Falk has mentioned that, you know, he's a rookie. He's very new to this, just like players are learning, you know, learning things on the fly. He has learned a lot of things on the fly, too. So it's good when you have a Curtis Johnson, a Fred McNair, who's been doing this for decades, who knows winning at the highest level, especially Fred, when you won, you know, multiple SWAC championships and even played in the SWAC. So, yeah, it's very integral to have these two in the room to help folk.
Let's look at also the grand scheme of the recruiting class. Southern had its recruiting class, and for you, Blue, let me know from your perspective of Southern's recruiting class, because you look at the FCS as a whole. From the talent that Southern's brought in year one in such a short time frame, where would you stack this up in the FCS, and more particularly then we go into the SWAC in terms of the smaller scale, but where would you stack up Southern's recruiting class in year one, and what Ben Miles, of course, the son of Les Miles, who is now coaching the tight ends and over recruiting at Southern, what would you say we stack up in?
I think the high school class would actually be ranked pretty. I think the high school class was pretty impressive, Perry, and that's kind of where I stand on how good will Southern be next year. Is because, I mean, how many of these freshmen can you rely on right now to be significant contributors, Perry? I think they signed a ton of talented high school seniors that are coming in, but how many of those high school seniors are going to be really good true freshmen next year and are ready to start day one? I don't know if all of them are. There might be one or two. I thought their high school class was one of the better ones in the FCS, but I will say their transfer portal class to me was a little bit underwhelming. And I think the biggest reason the whole of that class that stands out to me, Perry, is quarterback. Because you missed on the quarterback, right? I think it was it Chris was the guy who was supposed to come, and then he flipped to Tulane at the last second.
Coming
and now
from
he's at
the University
Tulane.
Of Houston.
Yeah, so I'm a little bit interested. I don't think he made the splash signings out of the transfer portal that I thought. I thought it was a pretty average transfer portal class. The one bright spot I do like is Charles Robertson, who wide receivers coming in from Louisiana, played a good bit at Louisiana, and I thought he, in his limited rotational action in the Sun Belt, actually shows some flashes of being a really, really, like having some high upside. And I think he could be a massive upgrade at wide receiver. And I think he might be the perfect Darren Morris. Darren Morris that went to the FBS level? I think he could be a perfect replacement for him.
Let's get ready to take a break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation. I got my man Kevin Baptiste here in the studio, my man Zach McKenna from FCS Football Central on the line, a.k.a. Blue. And for everybody out there who want to see what practice was like on the first week, you can go to Falk Media. Coach Marshall Falk's son, Marshall Falk Jr., has started Falk Media. I saw the video on YouTube, saw him out there recording. So Falk Media, you can go there and you can get an inside look. That's where you get the inside look in terms of everything that's happening with Southern University football. So you can go on YouTube and as well as on Instagram at Falk Media if you want to get a chance to see what week one practice in the first couple days were like. So let's get ready to take a break. We come back on this side. We'll continue the conversation. More of the Jaguar Journal. All right, everybody, we're back. I'm Perry White. Glad to have you guys with us. Got my man Kevin Baptiste over from WAFB. Of course, he covers Southern University here on the local and the regional side. And then I got my man Zach McKenna from FCS Football Central. Good morning, fellas. As we get ready to wrap things up, Blue, give me an idea, because we're talking offense today, because this is going to be the biggest thing Southern's going to really have to turn around. We'll talk defense later on next week. But as we talk offense, the go-go offense, Coach Ken Merchant, comes over from Sacramento State. We talked about it. Southern was at nearly the bottom of every category offensively last year. Two starters, well, two returning players with experience, Trey Holly, Ashton Strothen, in terms of the most experience. That's the quarterback and the running back. But when you look at Southern nationally on the FCS side, not SWAC, but nationally, what did Southern fare up offensively on the national scale of FCS as last year? And that shows how much work Ken Merchant and this offensive staff are going to have to build this year, Blue.
Yeah, I mean, dude, like I just mentioned, like the total offense, I mean, they were 100, out of like 120-ish schools last year. And I think that the one positive for Southern last year is that they were able to run the football a bit. But even that, toward the end of the year, Pierre, became a little bit inconsistent because of their inability to throw the football, right? People would just load the box on them. And then you had some, you know, running backs got banged up. And I think you look across, like, this offense, the key is going to be who is the quarterback for this team. That's really what it comes down to, Pierre, I'm going to be honest with you, is who is going to be the quarterback? Because I really do think this offense could be very successful in the SWAC if it's executed properly. But, Perry, the key is going to be the passing offense. Southern ranked 116th out of 126 teams in passing offense last year and only had 9 passing touchdowns. I don't know a program in the country that can win like that, Perry. That is atrocious right there. And I think they have the talent at the running back room, so I'm not worried about that. It's going to be developing talent at wide receiver. It's going to be picking the right point guard for this offense, because this is such a unique scheme, Perry, and when executed properly, it can be super dangerous. Like, you go back and watch, even though they lost the game last year, you go back and watch that Sacramento State-Montana game, they just created so many one-on-one matchups on the outside, and Montana's defense was just not athletic enough to handle it in the first half until they adjusted. And they just, you put your, this go-go offense will put your best playmakers, your most athletic playmakers, in one-on-one situations in open space, and they're able to take advantage of that. And I think that's what Southern has to do, is identify your athletes at every position and identify how to get them the ball in open space. And if they can do that, Perry, this offense could dramatically go from one of the worst in the SWAC and worst in the country to one of the better ones. But I will say this, Perry, just a caution. You're not looking at an offense where the quarterback is going to back up and throw for 300 yards, Perry. The quarterback here, like I said, is more of a point guard. Just get the ball in your playmaker's hands, whether that's swing passes, screens, RPOs, just getting the ball to your playmakers. You're not looking for him to throw 50 times in a game and throw for 350 yards. If he goes 17 of 19, right, Perry, but he's only averaging a handful of yards per completion, all you need him to do is make the right decision and not turn the football over, and that's when this offense really operates at its best.
I like it because I like the offense. It's video game style offense. And then what it does is, like you said, it gives the quarterback options. What I was watching with the two-back set at practice, it gives you an inside read in terms of the quarterback and the first running back to take it inside. The quarterback can pull it. He can take it himself. Then it turns the second running back into the pitch man. He can take what basically an option turn to play into an option play. Or the quarterback can keep it himself and pull it. Or he then can look down the field and throw the ball. The quarterback, as you said, is the point guard. He has to read. The quarterback has to be able to see what the defense is able to give him. Once again, Kevin, for you, talk about the quarterback room and the three guys that it seemed like right now the battle is going to be, because Coach Falk talked to media this week and said he's going to try to solidify his guy as soon as possible.
Yeah, he wanted this wrapped up before summer vacation in July for us regular folks. Yeah, you got to have that athletic quarterback, that guy who's a threat with his legs, who can really keep defense grounded. So far, it looks like, I mean, Wyatt McCauley, I mean, looks like, from what I've seen on the surface, I mean, he looks like the biggest threat with his legs. Strother, I mean, there was some times last year where he would, you know, tuck and run, but he doesn't seem like that real big threat with his legs. Passing-wise, yes, he may have the advantage, but there ain't going to be much passing in his offense, it seems like. And Dylan Compton, he's there, but just haven't seen anything of him. And then you're going to have the two freshmen, Sean Colon from St. Aul, come in the summer, and then Mario Littmer. In this day and age of college football, you do not see true freshmen just, you know, come in and take the bull by the horns and start in week one. So if I had to guess, I mean, the front runner for QB1 at Southern is Wyatt McCauley.
Blue, as we get ready to wrap things up, man, let everybody know where they can keep up with you if they want to keep up not only with Southern, the swag, but as well as the FCS landscape.
Yeah, FCS Football Central on SI.com/college/FCS and the Blue Bloods on all podcasts, streaming platforms and YouTube. And again, Perry, appreciate you.
Man, appreciate you. And then, of course, we're going to keep bringing you back next week. I'm going to go more defense. And Kevin, let everybody know where they can keep up with you as well.
At KBetis Jr. on Twitter/X and Instagram. And as always, WAFB Channel 9 and TV. And internet.
And if you're available as well next week, we'll look at take a deeper dive on the defense side of the ball. And what I saw at practice, defense was whooping up on offense this week. So that's what I saw. Defense would seem like it's going to be the strong point. So I can't wait to talk more about that. And then for everybody who want to see about practice this week, you can go make sure to keep up with Falk Media, Coach Marshall Falk, Junior's son. Coach Marshall Falk's son, Marshall Falk Jr., has Falk Media. Falk Media is on Instagram, as well as you can keep up with it. YouTube give you the behind the scenes of what's happening at practice, and you get a chance to see what's going on with the program for everybody out there that's interested in keeping up with the Jaguars. Southern University will have not a spring game this year. It will be a showcase on April the 4th. Did you have a time? Did you get a time?
We didn't get a time yet.
The showcase will be April the 4th. So for everybody out there that want to see more of this football team, you'll get a chance to see it. And then once again, if you want to get the behind-the-scenes stuff, Falk Media is where you go for that. And then, of course, you can always keep up with the Jaguar Journal. We're across all social media. We're on X, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, all that good stuff, as well as the YouTube channel. We're live today on X. So thank everybody for tuning in this morning. I hope you guys have enjoyed the show. I want to thank my man Zach McKenna. I want to thank Kevin. Hey, shout out to the Southern University women's basketball team. They're taking on South Carolina in the NCAA tournament today at 12 noon. They're dancing. And thank you for them in Southern University softball up in Pine Bluff taking on UAPB. So thank you for everybody listening. I hope you guys enjoyed the show. Next week, we'll be talking some defense and breaking that down and give you a little bit better perspective. So I hope you guys have a safe and wonderful weekend. And we'll be back next week at the same time, same place. Because always, it's the Jaguar Journal.